Did you know that the original Final Fantasy creator, Hironobu Sakaguchi, made a spiritual successor to that legendary series called Fantasian for Apple Arcade, and every level in the game is a handmade, physical miniature model? Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a 1 month free trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. This offer is for new subscribers only. $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.
Hello and welcome to Mainstream by Sifter. My name is Gianni. It's good to be with you. And if this is the first time you're listening to the show, welcome. Because I'm Mainstream, the team behind sifter.com.au and friends discuss their experiences playing a variety of games. Some of those big AAA titles, the smaller micro games, things you might find tucked away on itch, indies, retro releases, anything else that we've really stuck some time into and taken time to consider in depth. This week, we're digging into Death Door, which is a stylish top-down Zelda-like game from Acid Nerve, who you might know as the developer of Titan Souls. And my guest on Mainstream this week is Chris Button, a games journalist who writes for Games Hub and Biteside, and also the host of the Apple Arcade podcast, Mobile Arcade Club. Chris, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me, Gianni. Really appreciate it.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the game Death's Door. It's one that I think has gained a lot of praise, and I can really see where people have fallen in love with this game. So let's jump right in. You're listening to Mainstream by Sifter. Visit us on sifter.com.au. Chris, if people have not come across Death's Door before, how would you describe it? What sort of game and how does it play?
Yeah, I'd describe it similarly to how you introduced it just before, is that it is very much a Zelda-like experience. So a lot of people tend to throw it in the bucket with A Link to the Past, except with Death's Door, it's this lovely sort of isometric view, 3D, action sort of adventure game where, yeah, you're playing as this little crow who, as part of this, it's, you know, funny little setup, this sort of bureaucracy of crows who are the reapers of the dead, for lack of a better term. And, yeah, you're trying to, yeah, recover souls of the recently deceased and make sure this whole little bureaucratic operation of, you know, making sure all the dead are accounted for is that accounted for. But something goes wrong along the way, so you've got to chase up some missing leads as far as the afterlife is concerned.
Yeah, I guess the main conflict in that is when things are supposed to go a certain way and they don't, when people sort of change the path, the natural path, and what questions it sort of raises about how death and our role in life and the choices that are made is sort of a curious thing that's explored in this game. It's done in a very stylized way. I think the first thing that people notice when they're playing this game is how beautiful it is. It really is. Architecturally, I find actually amazingly stunning to look at. Looking at some of like the tiling on the floor, that something you wouldn't think would be directly considered that much. It just like, it feels like you're sitting in a world, and that's really contrasted by that bureaucracy you described as well, you know, a colorless world of the reapers where you're getting orders from people who sit at desks who are excited to do paperwork and things like that in this sort of avian bureaucracy. So the gameplay wise, can you kind of give us a few touch points about where it is? I know it's sort of Zelda like, but it is for me a game that sort of has a few other influences as well that you can really feel it wears on its sleeve.
Yeah, I mean, there's sort of similarities to some of the Dark Souls games in terms of there is a heavy reliance on dodge rolls to avoid attacks and that sort of thing, which, I mean, there's that many games that have dodge rolls, but Dark Souls is certainly the one that comes first to mind for popularizing that method of combat. But yeah, you've got your little sword or whatever weapon you've got equipped. You can actually equip an umbrella, and I believe there's an achievement for beating the game wielding nothing but the umbrella for those who are up to the challenge. And along the way, you do learn various spells or magic-based attacks like fireballs, or you acquire bombs and other abilities as well. So yeah, it does really harken back to a lot of those Zelda-like combat abilities where, yeah, the further you go, the further you progress, you acquire different weapons and different abilities as well, which not only have combat implications, but they also have implications for exploring the world and solving puzzles, rather. For example, the bombs can be used to blast open sort of rocks or obstacles in your way that you couldn't get through previously. And also your fireball spell can be used to light up various lanterns or sort of places that need to be lit up, which can open up other areas in puzzle-like sections or just add a bit of ambient light to the area, which is nice.
It's very Zelda-y in that way, I find. Yeah. That's, really, as someone who loved the 2D Zelda titles when they came out, it is touching a lot of those points for me. What I think I found, which was surprising, I guess, was the sort of difficulty curve when you're first starting. It's not a punishing game. In fact, that you sort of have sort of checkpointed, pass, and if you fail, you get this big death on the screen, which is kind of ominous and cool and nicely designed. But in the first part of it, I was seeing that screen quite a bit. I'm curious how that sort of fit with you in terms of working out what the systems of this game were like when you were trying to find your feet.
I like a good bit of challenge with these sort of games, and I found Death's Door to have a good amount of challenge, not one that feels insurmountable or perhaps a little bit unapproachable like the Dark Souls games, which I mentioned before, which can be a little bit off-putting to people unfamiliar with the genre. But yeah, there's certainly a lot of challenge in terms of there's a decent variety of enemies. There's little sections or dungeon areas which shut off the rooms as you fight off waves of enemies. So sometimes you can get overwhelmed by numbers. But I think one of the things that Death's Door does well to mitigate some of the early challenge and even the increasing challenge as the game goes on is that with the souls the currency that you acquire along the way, you're able to spend that back at sort of like the Crow's HQ, their little operations for sorting out all the paperwork of the dead, which it's surprising how much paperwork is involved with processing sort of moving of creatures to the afterlife. But once you're there, you can then spend the in-game currency on upgrading various stats, whether that be your evasion, so being able to roll again in quicker succession with a reduced cooldown there, or deal more damage, or being better at spells and that sort of thing. So even though some of the challenge can be pretty full on at times, there's generally a sense that you're building towards something and that you're getting just a little bit better equipped to face whatever encounters are thrown your way. And that's not to say it's a roguelite, because I think one of the common questions I'd seen thrown towards the game ahead of people trying it out or buying it is that, is this a roguelike or a roguelite? But it's not in that sense, in terms of, oh, if you die, you lose a bunch of your progress, because I think there's pretty generous checkpoints, and you don't necessarily lose everything upon death, but you do still have some form of upgrading and progression to get just a little bit stronger the more you play.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I think it's sort of came at a time when Hades was obviously making such a big splash for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And there are similarities with it. And I think actually one of the main things that I came into this game expecting, was it actually to be more like Hades and more leaning on that sort of roguelike or roguelite elements? I'm curious as to whether or not the sort of the balance of everything sort of sits right for you. For me, like as someone who really likes these games, and I'm wondering if it's an expectation thing, I found myself kind of struggling to get through it in a way that I hadn't with some other games in the genre. Because I know you love this game.
Yeah. Big fan of Death's Door, and I think it's, you know, beautiful in all aspects. But I think that is an interesting comparison to make, considering the popularity and the legacy of Hades. And it's funny to be talking about Hades' legacy, considering how young or how recent the game is, but it just goes to show how great and how popular that game is. But I think Death's Door works better as in the approach that it goes for, in terms of not adopting that roguelike progression sort of as rigidly as the likes of Hades or, off the top of my head, Enter the Gungeon, Rogue Legacy, those sort of things. But I do understand, because the likes of Hades, it does feel like that even with each death in Hades, not only are you gaining something a little bit more each time to progress and become stronger, but you're also getting teased a little bit more story as well. Whereas Death's Door, it's more a case of you don't get to see more of the story until you overcome this particular gate in your way. So I think perhaps that's an element while you're trying to get across a difficult part of Death's Door, you're not necessarily getting the same drip feed of story and lore as you would playing Hades. Maybe that's an element.
I mean, that sounds like an interesting thing, because I always felt that there was that sort of meaningful progression in that game. And for Death's Door, I did really feel that there were those moments where, you know, it is similar to a lot of these other titles. Like in Zelda, if exactly the same sort of thing happens. And I've played a lot of those series of games, but maybe it was just the framing in my mind, maybe where it sat. But yeah, Hades, I always felt like I was moving forward, even if I had made a mistake or didn't do a run the way it was supposed to be. I know you spoke to the developers of this game. You know, they're only a small team. Can you tell us a little bit about what they told you about how they designed this game off the back of their previous game, Titan Souls, which was, again, a boss fight game where, you know, it was all about finding those perfect moments. But, you know, some of that framing that you thought was interesting and you were able to discover from the systems after talking to them.
Yeah, so the couple of lads based in the UK from Acid Nerve, Mark Foster and David Fenn, so that it's the two main people, but they did contract a few other people to help with concept art and incorporating a lot of those creative elements as well, while they handled the bulk of the programming, level design and music composition as well. I think one of the things that stood out to me from the conversation is that we talk about a lot of the inspirations, or we've already mentioned very heavily Death's Door is very much like a Zelda game. And yes, they did acknowledge that, yeah, there's plenty of The Legend of Zelda inspirations there. But it's very much, and I think this is true of any developer you speak with, that Death's Door is a bit of a culmination of their entire history playing video games. So there's a little bit of Zelda. There's even, I think with the level design, they were looking to capture some of the sense of wonder of the 3D Super Mario games, in terms of how you're rewarded for exploring off the beaten track and finding some hidden goodies along the way. But then also, one of the big inspirations was outside of video games, and I think this is seen in some of the character design and some of the sense of whimsy throughout the entire game of Death's Door is, and Gianni, please do correct me, Studio Ghibli, I never have to pronounce
who
it. All
who knows? Yeah. One or the other, interchangeably yeah. used.
Yeah, or perhaps I could just go for the easy route and say, a lot of the films directed by Miyazaki, in terms of, yeah, some of those, you know, sort of these fantastical character designs and the real quirkiness combined with that there's a lot of light and dark woven throughout Death's Door. So you've got the light in terms of you're playing as this very small, cute crow wielding a big sword to fight off enemies and that sort of thing, you know, working for this really, really weird and quirky bureaucratic death operation. But then you come across some, you know, hulking behemoths of enemies like this automated castle that shoots laser beams at you. And one of the first main bosses after the first main dungeon area is this witch who you look at this witch and, yes, you can see that that beautiful anime film sort of translation or sort of inspiration there. So there's a fair bit of inspiration and a fair few ideas that have gone into Death's Door from within video games and outside of the medium as well.
I'm curious about the soundtrack as well, because you did speak to the developers about, to Fenn, who worked on this soundtrack, also worked on other games like Moonlighter as well, because it is a game I recommend putting your headphones on if you're like me playing it on the Switch, where most recently where it's just come out, you know, and listening to the world that it's there. Tell me a little bit about what the soundtrack sort of meant for you and your experiences of listening to the world of Death's Door.
Yeah, it really is a beautiful soundtrack, absolutely. It really draws you in very quickly, even on the menu sort of main theme, with a lot of these beautiful piano medleys melodies rather, and you know, a lot of sort of orchestrated sounds along with some electronic keys as well throughout some of the boss themes and boss music as well, but again, yeah, speaking with David Fenn about how the soundtrack was put together, he was saying that he felt like this was like the first thing that he's, you know, totally and completely proud of. Like, he's proud of his work for Moonlighter, and he also did the composition for Titan Souls as well. But I think this by his own admission, and he did so in the typically British humble way as well, in terms of very, very self-deprecating and deflecting, that yeah, he felt like this was his best work composition wise to date. And it's no surprise to see why, because when I did start playing Death's Door, my partner Laura, who she loves video games as well, but she doesn't play as many different games as I do. And while I was playing, she walked in and it was very, very curious. What are you playing? That's, you know, such a great soundtrack. And I've actually heard stories from other people as well that whether they've got partners or friends or family who don't play games have actually requested, oh, can you play some more of that game? Because that soundtrack's really beautiful. So it's a really, really lovely soundtrack, and it goes so well with the game. As I mentioned before, the light and dark, there's you know, some of this light, beautiful piano mixed with these sort of melancholy sounds as well. And then there's some really epic and stirring boss battle music, you know, tracks as well. So, yeah, it's got the range.
I'm wondering, what is a moment that really stood out to you that sort of crystallized your experience while playing this game?
I think one of the really cool moments I liked, and this is slightly, ever so slightly spoilery for the first dungeon boss, referring back to that that witch, the Urn Witch, is it's a little bit of a callback to Titan Souls, with how that was a game about fighting these massive bosses where you could defeat anything in one hit. However, you had to find that specific opening, whatever it was, whether it was a glowing spot on their back or whether it was after a particular series of attacks that they left open. It was never easy to do so. But with Death's Door, while it's not quite as rigid in fighting enemies, you can deal damage in various ways. But there was a nice little throwback in terms of there's a moment during the Urn Witch fight where she uses her urn to sort of start sucking you in and doing like a big bit of damage. But if you've got the fireball spell equipped, and this was in no way telegraphed, I just happened upon this by accident, if you launch a fireball while she's using her urn as a vacuum, the fireball will enter the urn and sort of cause it to blow up from the inside, dealing a massive amount of damage to the witch and leaving her stunned for a moment, so you can deal some follow-up damage as well. And it was a nice little nod to finding that, you know, that weak spot that wasn't super clearly telegraphed, but it sort of allowed you to experiment a little bit. So I thought that was a really cool moment where you can, you know, use this really free-flowing combat that feels really good to control, and, you know, use a bit of creativity to find new openings as well. It really does encourage you to explore not only in the overworld, which is beautifully designed, but in combat as well, trying to exploit enemy weaknesses in unexpected and delightful ways.
You know what that moment really reminded me of? It's when I was at school and everyone would be like, oh, you've got to use the fireball in that boss, and that's the way you get through it. And everyone was like, oh, hang on, I had no idea. But like, really, even though I didn't, wasn't telling anyone else, I just sort of came across that as well. And in reading your work, sort of had a bit of a heads up for it. Thank you for that one.
You're welcome.
When that moment came up, I really felt like I had been letting on a secret. And I think that's a really nice thing that you could say about this game, is that, yeah, when you go through it, there is a real sense of discovery. And then you feel that like you're just pulling back the layers, and everything that's in there, you know, has been very cleverly thought out, but it kind of does give you that sort of feeling that, oh wow, I've just discovered something really cool. I wonder if that was sort of the same for you.
That was exactly the same, because there's, yeah, so not only with the Urn Witch there as a combat example, but these the levels, or not the levels as such, but the sort of areas that you explore are all sort of interconnected, again to lean on the Dark Souls type of comparison. One thing that those games are heralded for is their interconnected sort of level design, where if you loop around a level, you know, kick down a ladder or open this door that was previously unopenable from another direction, then you realize, oh, that connects up to the very start of the level, but from a different angle. So now I can take that as a shortcut. There are moments like that littered all throughout Death's Door. So it feels really satisfying to see this from this isometric view, where all of these levels and these areas are so beautifully designed, almost like a diorama, to see how they connect up. Or you can sort of see, oh, okay, that's the way forward, but how do I get there? And then as you fight your way through enemies, you know, go through little dungeons and little hidey holes, you figure out, oh, okay, yeah, so now I'm where I was earlier, and now I can see how that all loops back and connects back in. But then there's also some little moments that deal with some perspective tricks as well. So if you say, snake around the edge of a structure, you may realize, oh, hang on, I can actually sneak behind this building, and the camera will flip sort of 90 degrees to the other side, and there's a secret here, so I can actually use that, and it'll give me like a health bonus or a bonus to my sort of spell capacity or something like that. Again, rewarding that exploration and, you know, really showing how interconnected and very tightly crafted this world is. It's very satisfying.
Who's this game for?
This game is for, I think, as we've covered before, anyone who enjoyed, especially those older school Zelda games, Link to the Past. I am particularly partial to Minish Cap on the Game Boy Advance. It's probably one of my favourite Zeldas of
all
time.
Best game by Umbrella. Yeah.
Oh, well, I've found my kindred spirit. So those sort of games, people will gravitate and enjoy Death's Door, or you'll be the sort of player who will enjoy this experience. I think. Anyone who enjoys a good action adventure game, especially one with, you know, a great soundtrack, beautiful visuals with such stunning shading effects. There's some really great work done with the lighting and shading throughout the entirety of Death's Door. But yeah, someone who enjoys a challenge. So if you're looking for more of a breezy experience. Perhaps don't play Death's Door right now, but when you're looking for an action adventure game with tight combat, a decent challenge, and plenty of secrets to find along the way, then I reckon Death's Door is right up your alley.
That's Death's Door. It's out on Windows. It came out on the Xbox earlier this year. And it's now out on the Nintendo Switch and the PlayStation as well. So if you're interested in checking that out, it's definitely one to have a look at. Thanks to the developers for giving us access to the game for the purposes of putting this review together.
This is Mainstream.
So this has been Mainstream by Sifter. It's what games the Sifter team have been playing, and our friends as well in the media. Chris, thank you so much for being part of this episode of Mainstream.
Thank you very much, Gianni. An absolute pleasure.
Thanks to Brian Fairbanks from Salty Dog Sounds for composing the Mainstream theme music. Now, if people want to find your work online, where can they read the stories that you've been putting together, the interviews that you've been conducting recently?
Yeah, so Games Hub is where I've been busy most recently. So I reckon if you want to check out what I've been doing, Twitter's the best spot. So at BibbyBoy, BibbyBoy.
If you're online, you can give Sifter a follow as well on social media at SifterHQ, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Twitch, wherever you'd like to find us. That's where we are. And we would love to see some of those amazing screenshots that you've collected in games like Death's Door. You can share that in the Sifter Discord. That's at sifter.com.au/Discord. You can also tell us about what you're working on. We've got a lot of creative people in our Discord who share their projects, and you can do so as well. And every week we give a bit of a shout out to everything that people have been making. That's at sifter.com.au/Discord. We've got another podcast. If you'd like to hear a bit more about what the process of making games is like, it's called Lightmap. We speak to game developers, creatives, people working in interactive media, making really, really cool things. So head to your podcast player, type in Sifter, and you'll see Lightmap and Mainstream, where you can get every episode of both for free. While you're there, also maybe check out Mobile Arcade Club if you're interested in arcade, the Apple Arcade games, which there's some really interesting titles in that. It's like a nice curated experience. So definitely one to check out if you're online. We've got a website, go to sifter.com.au, and the best thing you can do, share it with your friends. If you like this, if you like Chris's work, share it, because that makes a big difference to people finding out all the cool stuff that we work on. That's all the time we have for this episode. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you once again.
And until next time, have fun.
Did you know that the original Final Fantasy creator, Hironobu Sakaguchi, made a spiritual successor to that legendary series called Fantasian for Apple Arcade, and every level in the game is a handmade, physical miniature model? Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. At sifter.com.au/arcade for a 1 month free trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. This offer is for new subscribers only, $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.